Well, Pastor Todd Mullen once made this statement. He said how tragic it would be to get to the end of our life and win in an area that God is not handing out trophies. And since I have just a couple of opportunities left to share with you this morning, or not just more than just one this morning, don't worry. But I want to consider how to get life right and really kind of focus on what really matters. You know, because as I think, what do I want to say in my last times with you? I want to talk about what really matters so that we get life right. You know, an expert in religious law once asked Jesus what matters most. He asked him what was the most important commandment. And out of the over 600 commandments in the Bible, he's asking which one is most important. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus gives them two commandments, but he kind of makes them one because they go together. You can't have one without the other. They're kind of hinged together. You can't separate the two. The person is asking Jesus what matters most. And out of all the writings in the Bible, out of all the commandments in the Bible, Jesus says it comes down to these two things. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Jesus is saying if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, if you love God with all your being, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you get life right. And loving God with all that we have, and loving people like we love ourselves, helps us to live a life without regret. Because at the end of people's lives, when they're ready to pass on, those are the two things that are on their mind. Their relationship with God, for some, asking the question, am I going to heaven? And the relationship with people in their life. I remember visiting with my dad in the hospital when he had a serious blood infection. And as we talked, he was just so concerned that he had left my mom when he was gone, that she would be in a position where she was okay, that she wouldn't have to struggle, that she would be all right. Well, he recovered from that after a stint in the hospital and in a rehab place, and he was home, home for his 92nd birthday. But 2 weeks after his birthday, he suffered a massive stroke. And the doctors told us that he wasn't going to make it, that it would just be days at the most. And so as we got our boys out of work and we drove down and gathered at the hospital with him and my sister and most of her family, with my mom and my older brother, as we gathered there, my dad had lost his ability to move. He had lost his ability to speak. And one of the pastors from his church came in to talk with us and pray with us. And when the pastor had finished praying, my dad somehow was able to get the sounds of words out that said, I love you all. Those were the last words my dad ever spoke and I ever heard from my father. No one at the end of their life is asking, well, how's the stock market doing today? No one's asking, well, how many likes did I get on social media? What matters most is loving God and the people in their lives. And Jesus says if we love God and we love people, we get life right. And so this morning I want us to just focus on loving God. Then in a couple weeks, we'll talk about loving people. And then the week after that, to finish off how do we get life right, want to talk about living out our purpose. And so on the 13th, hopefully, I'll be able to speak. And you may want to come out for that one because I still may be on painkillers, so you don't know what in the world I'm going to say, you know. But Pastor Albee is going to speak next week, so you certainly want to be here for that. And then he's also going to speak at the end of the month. Then Pastor Ben will take over his preaching ministry with us. But when we think about loving God, it's a choice. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind is a choice. And Jesus chooses to love us, and we choose to love him. And when we think about this relationship this love relationship we are to have with God. First and foremost, we have to acknowledge how amazing and crazy it is that God chooses to love us, that he chooses to love you and me. And secondly, and maybe even more amazing, is the fact that God desires for us to love him, that he wants us to love him, that he wants this love relationship with each and every one of us. And the crazy thing, again, is that God doesn't have to love us. And he doesn't need us to love him. He is perfect and he's complete in and of himself. He doesn't need us. Yet he wants us. He chooses us. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, writes, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The apostle Paul in Romans writes of how nothing can separate us from God's love, that nothing can keep God from loving us. There's nothing we can ever do that's going to make God stop loving us. He just loves us. Paul goes on in writing to the Ephesians, and he says to them, we are God's holy people, and we are his rich and glorious inheritance. God considers us his inheritance. I mean, if it was me, I would want a little bit more than that, you know? But God is happy with this inheritance. He wants you. He loves you. He wants a love relationship with you and with me. So I ask you the question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Because if we love Jesus, and if we want to get life right, it begins with loving Jesus. And so if we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll give God every day. Give God your day. Give God every day. Acknowledge that this day and every day is a gift from God. The psalmist writes, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, do you get up in the morning and thank God for the day? I mean, the older I have gotten, the more thankful I am that I have another day. But so often we wake up with a bad attitude towards the day or something that's going to go on in that day, and it ends up affecting our entire day. But each day is a gift from God with new opportunities for each and every one of us. God has something for you today and for me, and he has something for us each and every day. And so acknowledge that this day is from God, a gift from God, and give this day back to God. Say, God, I'm going to live this day for you. I'm going to live this day and every day in a way that is going to make you happy. I'm going to worship you and I'm going to honor you in all that I do. I'm going to honor you by the choices that I make this day. Amen. I know this day is a gift from you, and I'm giving it and living it for you. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I love the way Eugene Peterson in a Message Bible paraphrases Romans 12:1. He writes, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Francis Chan, in his book Crazy Love, compares our lives to a movie. And he states how so many of us act as if the movie, that we are the star of the movie, that the movie is all about us, when in reality, the movie is all about God. We basically have a 2/5 of a second part in that movie. And so the question remains is, how are you going to live out that 2/5 of a second? Francis Chan writes, I don't know about you, but I want my 2/5 of a second to be about making much of God. He goes on to write, to be brutally honest, it doesn't really matter what place you find yourself in right now. Your part is to bring him glory. Whether eating a sandwich on a lunch break, drinking coffee at 12:04 a.m. so you can stay awake to study, or watching your 4-month-old take a nap. The point of your life is to point to him. Whatever you're doing, God wants to be glorified because the whole thing is his. It is his movie, his world, his gift. If we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll give each day to God. And if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll give God our time. When I was at one of the Chick Unite conferences put on by the Covenant denomination with one of our high school groups, it was actually the conference before my oldest son, Michael, was eligible to go. So he was in 7th or 8th grade at the time. And he was kind of starting to get into to Christian music. And so I remember being at the main stage, the main worship time one evening, and this group called Family Force 5 came on. And this was a high energetic group and loud, and there's 5,000 of us in this arena for worship. And I'm thinking, boy, Michael would just love this. And so I call him right there. And I say, Mike, you got to hear this band. And I hold up the phone, you know. And then I put it back to my ear. And you can see he's like super annoyed at me, you know. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? You know, I can't hear a thing. All I hear is noise and screaming and stuff. I can't hear anything. And so for the longest time, I thought that he was annoyed and upset with me because he couldn't hear anything. And I'm holding up this phone, he can't hear anything. But later I learned that he was annoyed and even mad at me because he missed me. And here I had called him and he wanted to talk to me. And all I was doing was holding up the phone saying, hey, listen to this band. All he wanted to do was to talk with me. And God is a father who wants to talk with you and me. You know, and when I thought about, you know, I felt really bad when I learned all that, you know. But there also became a kind of a neat feeling that I had. That, wow, here's this 13, 14-year-old boy. And he actually wants to talk to his dad on the phone, you know. But that's how God feels about you. God's excited to talk to you and me because he loves us so much. And he wants us to be so in love with him that we want to talk with him. You know, one day my youngest son, Dan, when he was in his early elementary school years, maybe kindergarten, first or second grade, we're walking to the bus stop, and he says to me, I wish I could cut your head off. And I'm thinking, oh, my word, have I blown it as a parent or what, you know? Who am I raising here? And so I say to him, you know, why would you want to do that? And he says, so I could play with it all the time. I could carry it around. I could play with it all the time. So I took it as he wants to play with me all the time, you know. But God is a father who wants to spend time with his children. He wants you to play with them all the time. He wants you to have that time with him. He loves us, and he longs for us to love him back and to spend that time with him. God wants to play with you all the time, every day. I mean, think about when you're in love with somebody and the great lengths that you'll sometimes go to be with that person. Driving for hours just to spend a short time with them. Staying up well past your bedtime, talking. Linda picked up her cousin from the airport at 1:30 in the morning. They get back to the house and they end up staying up for over an hour, I believe it was, just talking still. You know, you want to talk to that person. And then we at times will find ourselves doing activities that we don't really enjoy, but we do them just to be with that person. And when we're not with them, we miss them and we can't wait to be with them. I mean, is that how you feel about Jesus? Do you miss him when you're not having time with him? John Piper asks this question. He says, if you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauties you ever saw, and all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Jesus wasn't there? A true lover of God, a true lover of Jesus, would never be satisfied with heaven without Jesus. King David writes in Psalm 63, my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. He goes on to write, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Do you long to spend time with Jesus? And do you miss that time when you don't have it? And when you do spend time with Jesus in his word, reading his word and in prayer, do you just hurry through it so you get to the next thing on your schedule? Or do you cherish those moments, however long they may be? If we give God our time, we'll make an effort to be with him in prayer and reading his word. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is. If midday or evening is better for you, then do it then. If morning is better, or if you need coffee first, that's fine. God loves coffee. He had a whole letter in the Bible written about it. It's called Hebrews, right? Okay, I stole that like everything else I say here, you know. But you say, who has time for all that? But it doesn't have to be a lot of time, especially if you're not doing anything right now, especially if you're just starting out. Don't worry about the amount of time that you take. Todd Mullins makes the statement, small moments can create momentum. Little things done consistently over time can have a big impact. Do you know that a domino can knock over something 1.5 times its size? So that if I took this 2-inch domino and I placed the next one after it 1.5 times bigger, and each and every one 1.5 times bigger than the one before it, it would take about 24 dominoes to knock over a domino the size of the Empire State Building. Little things put in the right place at the right time can have a big effect on your life. You know, memorizing scripture is really important, but we can feel overwhelmed by it. There's so many verses in the Bible, you know, and I can't memorize as well as I used to. But what if we can memorize one verse a week, or even one verse every 2 weeks? That can make a big difference. At the end of the year, you'll have memorized 26 verses. And if you do one per week, it's 52 verses. And I think that's fantastic. And if you do that for 5 years, you have memorized 260 verses in the Bible. The seemingly little things that you don't think are a big deal, like loving your neighbor, how you treat your parents, siblings, coworkers, or spending 5, 10, 15 minutes a day reading your Bible. These little things actually are the big things that move our lives in the right direction. Jesus told us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when we love God this way, we'll run to him. We'll spend time with him in prayer, in the study of his word. If we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll give God our time. And if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll also live in obedience to him. I mean, it's great to know God's word, and it's great to know what God says, but it's not just enough to know what it says. We need to live it. We need to put it into practice. We need to put God's word into action. James writes in James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus also said, all who love me will do what I say. If we love Jesus, we'll do what he says. We'll live in obedience to him. You know, most of us are familiar with Jesus' story about the person, the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. But there's probably many of us who often forget the point that Jesus was trying to make with that story. Jesus is talking about obeying him and living in obedience and putting into practice what he says. This really comes clear in the Message Bible. Jesus says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. God doesn't want us to obey him because he has some huge ego. He wants us to obey him because he loves us and he wants what is best for us. It's like as a parent, you're telling your child, don't touch the hot stove or don't run across the road. You're doing it because you're trying to keep them from harm, because you love them. And that's what God wants for each of us. He wants the best for us. John, the disciple John, writes, God's commands are not burdensome. Or that God's commands, they don't weigh us down. What weighs us down is not obeying God's commands. What weighs us down is going off the path that he has for us. God's commands are actually for our benefit. Listen, I certainly did not always obey my parents. But I mostly did. And I obeyed them even at times when I really didn't want to. And certainly some of that obedience was because I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want the punishment that I knew would be coming. But I mostly obeyed them because I loved them. And I wanted to honor them. And I wanted to please them. And if we truly love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we're going to listen to what he says and do what he says. The Apostle Paul, he writes, for the love of Christ controls us. My love for Jesus controls what I do and what I do not do. And if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll give him each day, we'll give him our time, we'll give him our obedience, and we'll also give him our best. God wants our best, he deserves our best, and he demands our best. Our lives, you know, can get busy, and they can be, it can easily get filled up with so many different things that we end up giving God whatever is left over, whether that's our time, our energy, our money. God, speaking through Hosea, writes, when I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. And sometimes when we get satisfied, when life is going well and smoothly, we forget about God, or we put him on the back burner. And God doesn't get our best. God, speaking through the prophet Malachi, states this. He says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Francis Chan, commenting on this verse, writes, the priests of Malachi's day thought their sacrifices were sufficient. They had spotless animals, but chose to keep those for themselves and give their less desirable animals to God. They assumed God was pleased because they had sacrificed something, but God described this practice as evil. God deserves the best we have to offer, and all that we do are to do it for him. The Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Everything I give, I'm to give the best that I can. We may not be the best, but God just wants us to do the best we can and to give him our best. And giving him our best includes following him with a whole heart. Because you can't follow Jesus half-heartedly. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus wants all of us. That requires giving him our best. And we love him and we give him our best in all that we have. When we love him, we'll give him the best in all that we have. And when we are all in with him, we give him our very best. And so I ask you, if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? Will you give God your day? Will you give God your time? Will you give God your obedience? Will you give God your best? Do you love Jesus? Think about it. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you that you are a God who loves us, that you have made that so clear in so many ways, and certainly through the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. And Father, we thank you so much that you desire to have a relationship with you. And Father God, we do love you. And we thank you that we can love you. And Father, as people who love you, we do desire to give each day to you. We desire to give our time to you. We desire to give our obedience to you. We desire to give our best to you. We ask that you'll help us to do this. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you, right after the service, we're going to have a quick business meeting and to vote on Jeff as becoming one of the elders of the church. Now may you go from here loving Jesus, showing that love for Jesus as you give each day to him, as you give your time to him, as you give your obedience to him, and as you give your best to him. And may God, who loves you and cares for you, continue to show you that love each and every day. Amen.